The Classic period covers the years from about 1740 to 1820. Listen carefully to this tape on music of the Classic period so you can do well on the short quiz at the end. Also, so you can enjoy great music from a great musical time period. But first, let's get a feel for the style of the Classic period by listening to a portion of a sonata by Franz Joseph Haydn, one of the great composers of the Classic period. To begin with, we must define classical music as opposed to music from the Classic period. Many people become confused on this point. Classical music can come from any time period. It is music written by the educated for the educated. Now, there was a time before records, tapes, CDs, stereos, and ghetto blasters came into existence that if an ordinary person wanted to listen to music, they would have to sing it or play it themselves. Now, there was one other option available to the poorer classes, and that is to hear music at church. The music that people would play in their homes is called folk music. It is usually very easy to sing or play. Now, if you were a king or a member of a royal court, then you could afford a different lifestyle musically. You could afford to have your own orchestra, singers, and composers. Now, these were educated people who, because the king supported them, were able to spend a lot of time with their music. These educated musicians played for the sophisticated and cultured courts of the king. The music was much more difficult to play and to understand. This is called classical music or art music. Folk music and pop music appeals to just about everyone. It's easy to understand and easy to listen to, requiring very little thought or energy. It's often very fun. Classical music appeals to a lot fewer people. Not everyone is educated enough to understand it, and it usually does require education. It requires a lot of training to play it. It requires a lot of thought, education, and energy to understand it. But yet, the extra time, energy, and work it takes to understand and appreciate classical music is well worth it. In summary, then, folk or pop music is music of the common folk. Classical music is music of the educated, for the educated. It has been explained to you what classical music is. The rest of our discussion will deal with music written in the Classic period. The Classic period is music that was written around the years of 1740 to 1820. On this tape, we will be discussing classical music written in the Classic period, as opposed to classical music written during the Baroque period, Renaissance period, or any other time period. On this tape, we will discuss historical events, musical trends, and composers of the Classic period. Perhaps you remember how in the Baroque period, many people began to seek education and knowledge. The fruits of the widespread education began to ripen in the Classic period. In France, this time period was called the Age of Enlightenment. The Age of Enlightenment is the first historical event we will discuss. Light is often associated with intelligence. If you woke up in a dark room, you might turn on a light so you could see things clearly. That is how many of the people felt during this time period. They felt as if a light had been turned on and they could see things more clearly. That is why they called it the Age of Enlightenment. See the light? You may ask at this point what it was that these people began to see more clearly through their education. It was themselves. They saw themselves more clearly. Before this time, people thought their kings were related to God himself. Nowadays, we call this the divine right of kings. These people didn't dare disobey the king, even if the king was a bad one, because they believed that if they were not good to the king, God would not be good to them. So the king and those related to the king, called the noble ones or nobility, thought that they were somehow better than everyone else, not because they served better, but because they were born better. They thought they had a special relationship to God that no one else had. As people became enlightened through their education, they began to see that the kings and nobility were people just like they were. Now, how do you think the kings, princes, and other nobility reacted to this age of enlightenment? Do you think they liked it? No, most did not. They liked their unique status and the thought of somehow having a special relationship to God that no one else had. Many refused to go along with it, like King Louis XVI. So the French people chopped his head off and got rid of him. Some, like King Frederick the Great of Prussia, paid great lip service to it to keep his people in check. Others, like the kings of England, gradually gave up most of their power to the people. Still others, like those in the American colonies, decided to do away with kings altogether. They established their own government of the people, for the people, and by the people. They wrote that all men are created equal, meaning that you are not better than me just because you're related to the king. These new ideas had a great effect on the people, politics, and on the music. The second historical event that we will discuss is the birth of the United States of America. America's birth is directly related to the ideas of the Age of Enlightenment. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison were all living during the Classic period. No doubt they had heard of Mozart, Haydn, and Beethoven. The third historical event we will discuss is the Back to Nature campaign of Jean-Jacques Rameau. Many thought the music, architecture, and other ideas of the Baroque period were overdone, too bizarre, too unnatural. They thought the music was too complicated, the architecture too ornate, manners and customs too pompous. They thought a more natural music and a more natural life was more ideal. They sought to achieve a balance between the mind and the heart. There are so many interesting inventions, discoveries, and ideas that occurred during the Classic period that we could go on for days discussing them. However, these three that we have briefly mentioned should give you a general idea of what was going on in the world, so that as we discuss the music, you understand a little better why the music is written a certain way, and why the people wanted to hear it a certain way. In review then, if I were to ask you to name three historical events of the Classic period, you could name the Age of Enlightenment, when people saw themselves and their world in a different way with all men created equal. You could also mention the birth of the United States as a product of the Age of Enlightenment. You could mention the Back to Nature movement, where people wanted life to be more natural and balanced. The Age of Enlightenment, the birth of America, Back to Nature with a balance between heart and mind. Three important historical events of the Classic period. Let's talk about the musical developments of the Classic period. Composers of the Classic period reacted to the complexities of the Baroque. The harmony was simpler, there was less embellishment of the melodies, and the forms became symmetrical and ordered. Intellect and feeling were carefully balanced. The Classic period was fertile with exciting new musical developments. The first development that we will discuss is that of the pianoforte in 1709. It was invented then by a man named Cristofori. Now, the first keyboard instrument was the organ. When we think of the organ today, we think of an instrument with a keyboard that is similar to the piano's. However, the keyboard developed over a period of many years. At one time, the keys of the organ were so large and heavy that the musician could make it sound only if he hit it with his whole fist. In those days, organists were called organ beaters instead of organ players, or organists. By the 1500s, a keyboard began to develop that looked similar to the one we use today. If you were to look at it, you might be surprised, because the white keys, as they are now, were black, and our black keys, as we have them now, were white. By the end of the 1500s, another keyboard instrument became popular. This one could be played in the home. This was the virginal, and it was simply a box with strings small enough to be set up on the table. At the end of the box was a row of keys. When you pushed the key, it would lift a piece of wood inside the box. On the end of the piece of wood was a quill, as in the quill of a feather. The quill had a little notch in it, and it was placed against the string so that when the key was pushed, the quill went up and it would pluck the string for that note. Queen Elizabeth used to play this instrument. From the virginal came the spinet, and from the spinet came the harpsichord. The harpsichord was a stringed instrument as well that was plucked by quills. The harpsichord was considered the most important part of the furniture in a home in those days. It was usually made of the finest wood, and often it was carved or painted. The harpsichord required a lot of repair, though. In many homes in London, the tuner came once a week to fix and tune the harpsichord. Francis Hopkinson, who also helped to write the Declaration of Independence, also worked as a tuner and re-quiller of harpsichords. When the harpsichord was very popular, a man named Cristofori designed a keyboard instrument that had hammers that hit the strings instead of plucking them. Because the strings were struck, this instrument was called the harpsichord with soft and loud. The Italian word for soft is piano. The Italian word for loud is forte. So the instrument was called the pianoforte. Later, it was just called the piano. Although the piano was invented in 1709, which is in the Baroque period, it wasn't until more than 50 years later in the Classic period that it began to catch on and become popular. Soon, it replaced the harpsichord in popularity. The reason it began to become so popular is because composers like Clementi, Mozart, Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, and Haydn began composing for the piano. The piano was a much more expressive instrument, since it could go both loud and soft, and was a little more sturdy than the delicate harpsichord. So, our first musical development is the invention and increasing popularity of the piano. A favorite compositional device of the classical period was the use of the Alberti bass. An Alberti bass sounds like this. The reason it's called Alberti bass accompaniment is because an Italian composer named Domenico Alberti frequently used it in his compositions. It fit in so well with the ideals of the classic period. Remember, this was a time of reaction to the ornateness and complexity of the Baroque. They preferred simple melodies with more simple accompaniments. It would be difficult to find a more simple accompaniment than the Alberti bass. For example, compare a left-hand accompaniment by J.S. Bach. Or compare this accompaniment figure by the famous Romantic composer Frédéric Chopin. Now listen to the Alberti bass once again, this time with a melody added. This brief example is taken from one of Wolfgang Mozart's piano sonatas, his famous piano sonata in C major. Thank you. Another way in which the music reflected the ideals of the classic period was in their forms. Form means shape. It is the form of something, like a pencil, that helps us distinguish it from a pen, or a piano, or a chair, or a pig. A form that was popular during the Baroque period was the binary form. The binary form, as you may recall, had the shape of A, B, or in musical terms, A, and B. Altogether, it would have sounded something like this. Now, this type of form did not especially please classical composers who liked balance. Many of their compositions tended to tag an A on the end of AB, creating an ABA form. So if we take our A and add our B, and then play A again, we have an ABA form. Now, let's add an Alberti bass to our melodies and play it all the way through to see what our composition in ABA sounds like. Now remember, balance was not the only concern of the classic composer. This was an age of enlightenment. The music must be appealing to the mind as well as the heart. Gradually, the ABA form developed into a favorite form of classic composers called the Sonata Allegro form. The Sonata Allegro form was different than the ABA form in that the B section was used to show the composer's intellect and creativity by taking the melodies exposed in the A section and then developing them in the B section. Now, what do I mean by development? Well, let me give you a couple of examples. Let's begin with this melody written by Muzio Clementi. Now, Clementi could develop this melody by turning it upside down and backwards. He could also play it in a different key. Or he could play it slower. Or faster. Or he could take a second melody, such as this. And make it longer, like this. These devices are development devices used by composers to develop melodies or themes exposed in Section A. There are many other ways that a composer can develop his themes that were exposed in Section A. In the Sonata Allegro form, the A section was often called the exposition because the themes were exposed or revealed. The B section was called the development. When A returned, it was called the recapitulation. Now you're probably thinking, whoever came up with these names had more brains than heart, not living up to the classical ideal of balance and between heart and mind. As pedantic as they may seem, we're stuck with them. Exposition, development, and recapitulation, the ABA sections of the Sonata Allegro form. I have played for you Clementi's theme, and we have discussed how he might develop it. Now, let's listen to his sonatina in C major and hear how a composer of the classic period might put all this together in a Sonata Allegro form. Listen carefully and see if you can hear all the devices that Clementi uses in his short development to develop his themes. ¶¶ If you listened carefully, you heard the methods Clementi used to develop his themes in the short development section. You also heard him do a little developing in the recapitulation. The composers of the classic period liked the sonata allegro form so much that they used it to develop symphonies, sonatas, concertos, and string quartets. The symphony, sonata, concerto, and string quartet were the favorite types of pieces for most classical composers to compose. Two other favorite forms of the classic period were the rondo and the theme and variations. We will discuss the rondo first. A rondo, spelled R-O-N-D-O, has a repeating A. For example, let's start with our old theme A. Add B, come back to A, play a C, come back to A again, then to B, and then to A to conclude the piece. That is a rondo form. A, B, A, C, A, B, A. Listen carefully to this portion of a rondo by Mozart called Turkish Rondo. As you listen, see if you can count how many times Mozart brought the A theme back. But before you start counting, you need to know what the A theme sounds like. It sounds something like this. And now we're ready to begin. How many times did you hear theme A come back? If you counted 6 times, then you counted correctly. Now, a theme and variations is exactly what it says it is. A composer writes a lovely little piece, like, and then plays it again with some variations or changes to the melody, thus allowing the composer to show his intellect and creativity. Listen to one of the most famous variations written. It is by Mozart. His variations on the song Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. You will hear the theme, and then just 3 of the many variations he wrote on this theme. Thank you. We have discussed several musical trends, styles, and compositional devices of the classic period. The first was the invention and popularity of the piano. We also discussed the Alberti bass accompaniment and the popular ABA, rondo, theme and variations, and the sonata allegro form with its three sections, exposition, development, and recapitulation. Now we are ready to discuss the composers of the classic period. We have heard pieces on this tape by Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, and Clementi. The first three, Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven, are without doubt the most famous and greatest of the classical composers. But there were many, many other composers in this time period as well. We will not spend any more time with them here, other than to mention them, as Music Wonderful Music has tapes on each of them for you to learn from. During this tape, you have been practicing a skill that is very important to the enjoyment of both classical music and music of the classic period. That skill is called active listening. An active listener is one who tries to memorize and remember the theme as it is being played. He is quick to observe how the theme is developed and changed. His mind is actively involved analyzing the piece as it's played. He knows that much of the classical music is written to be a feast for the spirit and the mind. You can come into contact and enjoy conversations with some of the greatest minds in the world as you actively listen to this great music. This concludes our tape on the classic period, covering music from 1740 to 1820. We are now ready for the quiz. Pause the tape between each question to give yourself time to answer. Question 1. Name three historical events of the classic period. Question 2. What new instrument gained great popularity in the classic period? Question 3. Describe an active listener. Question 4. What are the three sections of a sonata allegro form called? Question 5. Who are the three most famous composers of the classic period? Question 6. What type of accompaniment is this called? Question 7. Using the letters of the alphabet, describe a rondo form. How did you do? If you missed some of the questions, don't feel bad. We covered a lot of material on this tape. You may want to listen to this tape again and again, as it can greatly enhance your understanding and enjoyment of music from the classic period. Thank you.